Thursday we come out.
Got it on.
Well, I hate to see everybody standing, so I think we'll start a minute early, if that's all right with everybody. And I would like to welcome you out to our school board meeting tonight. We would like to excuse Christy, as she is out of town on vacation. And so we'll begin our meeting tonight by Zane saying the Pledge of Allegiance. I was going to say your name, but I'd probably mess it up. So, Zane?
All right.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Well, we'd like to start with some recognitions tonight. Excuse me, do we have any public comment? Oh, okay. When you come up, will you state your name? Thank you, Robin.
My name is Robin Williams, and I am an employee of the district, but I come to you tonight as a parent of a child that attends Adams Elementary. I brought some data, and I brought some for the audience, although not enough for everybody. I would like to express concern about the conversations that are happening with our legislature, and I think a plea made to all the employees and parents in this room to speak to our reading program, which some know as SB 230 or the K-3 Reading Initiative. I received notice from USOE this afternoon that it's very much at risk, and Zane was down there today, and it looks like there's a real movement to eliminate that program. I need you to know that that serves the children that are both at risk for reading and those children that we have that are high-end readers as well. You have each been in our classrooms and you've seen the power that happens not only with having a very skilled coach that can help be a part of the learning process and helping with groupings, but also all of our aides, dozens upon dozens at each school, that provide our children opportunity to read in small groups at their reading levels. We start each year with lots of red on the dibbles that you see, and at the end of each year we end with lots of green, and that means kids that are reading on grade level. Again, the statistics that I put in your hands, if you look at what our district trend has been for at-risk factors, we are exceeding where we should be. And I would simultaneously point out to you that that is in conjunction with our reading program being implemented in our district. And I think if there's anything that we need to stand up and make phone calls to the appropriate people, it is the K-3 Reading Initiative SB 230. I also need to point out that part of that initiative has been supported with a leeway that is our community saying this is a priority for us. And again, I think it will be devastating if this program is eliminated for the purposes that they are saying. The second thing, very briefly, and I know I have less than 3 minutes to say what I need to say, but as someone that has lived and breathed the document of the Common Core for over a year now, I was extremely heartened when that was passed and approved. And I have utter dismay at the hyperbole and the mistruths that are being spoken in our legislature about this Common Core. It gives us an opportunity like none we've ever had. Utah ranks 41st in a nation that is 28th in the world. It gives us opportunity to move our children where we need to move them to and have aligned curriculum not only between us and Cache and Box Elder, but across our state and across the country. And those that are misspeaking about it have not read it. And I guarantee you the stuff that was said today, those are people that absolutely have not even opened it. But as people have gotten to know it and they see the sense of the Common Core, it really speaks to and resonates to me as a mom and to me as an educator. Our superintendent is preparing talking points that I hope he's been sharing with each of you. And for anybody, educator or parent that has questions, we've started to post everything we can to the website. And me or any of my people are very willing to spend time and talk about this document and why it is a fabulous guiding principle for our district. So thank you.
Thank you, Robin. You know, what Robin said is very, very important. The money that we get from SB, which is Senate Bill 230, has been a valuable asset to our district, and it has been a major factor in the students being able to achieve and grow. And sadly, the ones that send most of the letters are we as school board members, and I can honestly tell you, I plead with, as a parent, if you'll start sending letters to your legislators and tell them your concerns, because if these things do pay, if they do take away, it is going to make a significant impact on our district. Very significant. There will be, it will hurt.
For us, it's almost $450,000. Mm-hmm.
So, thank you, Robin. Appreciate that. Okay, we'll now go to our recognition. We'd first like to invite Sue Sorensen up, if you would, and turn some time to you and get your people up here.
I have to second what Robin has said and what President Hobbs has said. We really need to be serious about that. It's not just the money, it's the people. Our coaches do tons for our schools. We need to keep them, and we need to help those kids read. Marianne Stockdale, come on down. Marianne is the Ellis School Volunteer of the Year. I kind of have to do the two-headed thing here because you don't know which way to go. Here's what Mrs. Simmons has to say about Marianne Stockdale. Marianne has been a volunteer in my classroom for over 20 years. She began when she had children in my class and has continued to come every Wednesday, rain or shine. I can always depend on her, and I love her consistency. She comes willing to do anything I ask. She helps us with reading groups, art projects, writing assignments, and math tubs. The children like her so much because she is kind and friendly. We love Mrs. Stockdale. She's a wonderful asset to our school, and it's her volunteer spirit that makes Ellis great. And it's true. Every day, every Wednesday.
Hey, Marianne. The board would like to honor you as Ellis Elementary Volunteer of the Year. The board congratulates you for being recognized for your excellent service and thank you for your dedication to the children in Logan City. Thank you so much. You have family here. Let's have them stand up and you can introduce them. All right. You've got to stand up. Thank you for coming.
Before you go, on behalf of the Logan City School District Foundation, as well as the Board of Education, we'd like to present you with a check as well as a gift certificate for a dinner out. Congratulations.
And next out of the audience, could we please have Annette Briner come forward?
There you go. You're great.
Annette is the Ellis School Classified Employee of the Year. Annette is a ray of sunshine in the kindergarten classroom. Any child that is struggling with anything will seek her out. She is kind and patient and talks to children in such a sweet voice, and even when they're being difficult, which is so true. She is able to find humor in tough kindergarten situations. She helps kids feel lighthearted and taken care of in times of crisis. Students love being with and working with her. She makes all students feel important and worthwhile. She is always here on time and hardly ever misses a day. She is very dependable and is willing to step in and help out with extra activities such as orchestra. She plays with all of our kids. Very good. Annette's priorities are evidenced in her positive attitude. She never gossips and never complains. She has a kind word of greeting for everyone she meets, whether student or fellow employee. She is dedicated, consistent, and tireless. Mrs. Peterson describes her as my right arm and says I don't know what I would do without her.
Annette would like to present present this to you as Ellis Elementary Classified Employee of the Year.
Thank you so much.
And do you have family here?
I do. I have my husband and my daughter.
Okay, make
taking the picture.
Where are you? You got a wave. There you go.
There
he is. Good. Thank you.
And again, on behalf of the Foundation Board, as well as the school board, we give you a check as well as a gift certificate.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
And one more drum roll for Denise Cruz. Come on down. Ellis Teacher of the Year. Mrs. Cruz consistently goes above and beyond for her students. She is a true children's advocate. She cares as much about her students and how they feel about themselves as she does that they are successful with their academics. She works hard to make sure that while students are with her, every minute is packed with learning. She is here nights and weekends, which I can attest to, bringing me chips and salsa, preparing and planning for her students. Denise is always trying to find new effective ways to challenge them, accommodate them, inspire them, and educate them. She is willing to learn and try new things. Denise is always reading and studying, as well as attending seminars and conferences and working to implement her training. She is very open to other people's thoughts and ideas. She is willing to try anything to help her kids succeed. She has worked hard at incorporating the smart board into her teaching and is working on receiving her ESL endorsement. Denise has a real gift when working with children. She's able to identify exactly what kids are missing and what is needed to fill those holes. She is very perceptive and can pinpoint just the right intervention. She's the key member of our RTI team. She loves her students and goes above and beyond in caring for their families, too. We just went today and picked up a student. Having a child with any sort of disability comes with its own challenges, and Mrs. Cruz is so happy when her kids do well and cries along with them when they struggle. Denise shows compassion for all people, students and their families, as well as other staff members. When you talk to Denise, you know she genuinely cares. Denise builds unity within the staff with her friendly, fun, and kind personality, as well as her great sense of humor. It's a privilege and a lot of fun to work with Denise. She has made a wonderful impact on all of us at Ellis. She's an amazing lady.
Well, Denise, the board would like to recognize you as Ellis Elementary Teacher of the Year. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And I know you have family here.
I do.
Because your mother's going to sing and dance and whistle, so I know that. So will you introduce your family?
My husband and two of my daughters and my mom.
You got to stand up, Mom, if you're going to whistle.
My husband and daughter.
And daughter and all the rest. There you go. Thank you.
And again, on behalf of the Foundation and the Board of Education, thank you so much for all that you do.
Way to go. Daryl, if you'd like to come up. Daryl is going to present the recognitions for her, her Woodruff. Jeez, come on, Lynn. Sorry, Daryl.
That's all right. It's my honor to recognize some individuals tonight. We figure we're getting close to twice the size of some of the schools, so we're going to recognize two volunteers. No, that's because we had so many, it could only narrow it down to two. So we have two volunteers of the year to come on up, Beth Sluter and Jolene Mortensen. Will you come up and join me? Here's what some of the nominations said about Jolene. Jolene is always a great to volunteer. She helps out in her son's classroom at least three times a week. She spends a lot of time doing book fairs, Santa's Secret Shop, and is helping with the Broadway musical this year. Jolene puts in a lot of time helping and at the school that goes unnoticed. She is a great asset to the school. Year after year, I see Jolene here helping in any way she can. She is a perfect example of why and how the community can help Woodruff be great. Thank you, Jolene. Congratulations. And Beth Sluter. Beth has been a great asset to the PTA. Many sleepless nights making sure all tasks are getting taken care of. Beth has spent countless unpaid hours in the school, in stores, and in classrooms getting things done. Beth has a great attitude and is easy to get along with. Beth will be the PTA president next year, making her a great asset to our school because she puts Woodruff as a priority in her already busy life. Beth is everyone's right-hand woman. She does a lot of behind-the-scenes work with little credit. She will always lend a helping hand, to, no matter how inconvenient, dragging the kids behind her. Congratulations, Beth.
Well, Jolene and Beth, we'd like to recognize you as Cole Woodruff, Volunteers of the Year. So thank you so much. And do you have family here?
I have two of my daughters.
Okay. Beth, thank you. Jolene, I know you do.
My husband and three of my sons.
Thank you.
Jolene and Beth, on behalf of the board, thank you so much for all that you do for Woodruff and for the district.
Jackie Peterson, would you come join us? Jackie has been selected as our Classified Employee of the Year at Woodruff, and here's what some of her nominations said. Jackie is an incredible asset to our staff at Woodruff. She is an awesome refocused teacher, which isn't the easiest job in the world. Believe me, and I can attest to that also. She also does a remarkable job organizing and running our student council, as well as keeping track of our attendance issues, which could be a full-time job in itself. I am amazed at how competent and efficient she is. She takes every aspect of her job very serious and is confidential at all times. Woodruff is very lucky to have Miss Jackie, and she is very deserving of this honor. The reason I like Miss Jackie is that she does so much for us. She helps us out. So there would be no bullying. I'm not sure if that's bowling or bullying. She's also really nice. I like her. She also helps the student council. Another student wrote, "Miss Jackie helps us with stuff, like when you and your friends get into fights." Jackie does an excellent job of keeping the kids safe and helping parents with that. Refocus specialist has to be the most difficult job in the school. Jackie is always a joy to be around and work with. She always has a smile. She is a super go-to person and someone I always want on my team. For several years, Jackie has been finding discipline procedures that work. She emphasizes self-esteem above everything else. She deals with faculty, staff, parents, and law enforcement. She is a member of the UBI committee and has helped to organize think times. She helps students get it back together while still maintaining their dignity. Her job is one of the hardest at the school, and she is often not as appreciated as she should be. She's also organized our paw print program and often works in the office and wherever else she is needed. She is very deserving of this recognition. Congratulations, Jackie.
Jackie, on behalf of the board, we'd like to present this to you as the Woodruff Elementary Classified Employee of the Year. Thank you so very much.
Oh, my mom and dad are here. My husband and I've got to stand up.
Okay, thanks for staying.
My parents are there, and I've actually got lots of friends that came from the school, so thank you.
Jackie, on behalf of the board and the foundation board, thank you so much for everything that you do for us.
Thank you.
Tina, can you come up, please? Tina Rewald, one of our third grade teachers, is being recognized as our Teacher of the Year at Woodruff. Here's some of the things that were written about Tina. Mrs. Rewald is very helpful in helping students learn. She is very organized and thoughtful and provides more than the needed material. She reminds each and every student that they are unique. Mrs. Rewald is a great teacher. Mrs. Rewald is caring and loving. She cares for her students very much. Mrs. Rewald teaches you well and makes you learn a lot of things. Mrs. Rewald makes teaching easier and funner. Mrs. Rewald is kind, and she cares a lot about her class. This kind of shows you how many nominations came in for Tina. Mrs. Rewald is nice, and she gives us candy. I haven't got any of that yet. I need to come up more often. It is important to have a teacher to take care of us in our school. Mrs. Rewald helped me with my homework and helped me in third grade. My son has had some challenges, and out of all the teachers and aides he has had to work with, Ms. Rewald is the best. She helps him understand and helps him on a one-on-one basis when she can. She always ensures he has everything to get a task done. And if he ever forgets anything or leaves homework at school, she goes out of her way to bring it to my by the house. She is very dedicated to her job and deserves this award very much. I appreciate all the hard work and effort she puts in to help make my son successful. Congratulations, Tina.
Tina, the Board of Education would like to honor you as Woodruff Elementary Teacher of the Year. Congratulations. Good. Thank you.
And finally, on behalf of the board as well as the foundation board, thank you so much for all that you do for the Woodruff and the students there in your class. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Okay, our next item, Shanna, we'd like to turn some time over to you to introduce your guests here tonight and explain what we are going to get to do now. Thank everyone for coming and appreciate you being here.
Hopefully I only clear about half the room this time. I'm also getting as people are making their way out. I am Shanna Longhurst, for those of you that I am not acquainted with. I am the Executive Director of the Logan Schools Foundation, and we are the kind of the charity arm of the school district where we accept donations to help out teachers in classrooms and students within the school district. Every November, we anxiously await for a letter to come to our superintendent from Nucor Steel announcing that they will once again be able to offer grants to the teachers within our school district. And without fail, since I've been involved with the foundation, which has been close to about 10 years now, they have without fail stepped up to the plate and been able to help out our classrooms and our students, and we are so, so very grateful for that each and every year. Even in good times and bad, they've made an effort to do all that they can. So with that, I would like to introduce Lynn Harris and Guy Hampton, and they will be making presentations to the teachers of the Logan City School District who have received grants this year.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. You know, we get the opportunity to make these presentations. And at Nucor, we just want to say thank you so much for what you do for our children and grandchildren. Now, Guy's too young to have grandchildren, but I do. You know, but Nucor believes in the long term. You know, we went through some tough times, as most industry has. 2008 was a record year, and then 2009 was the worst year in our industry for over 30 years. And now 2010, we're pulling out of it. But during those slow times, we've used that as an opportunity to look at our processes, improve, perform processes that will make us more efficient. And with that, we believe in the future, and we believe in the education of our youth. Now, there were many, many good requests that were submitted to us, and we feel bad that we couldn't fund all of them. But we'd like to congratulate those of you that are here, and we'd like to present you with some awards at this time. I'll read off the names, and if Guy will present these. From the Mount Logan Middle School, Christy Schrenk Lishman. Thank you, Christy.
Where's the class? Stay up here in the line, everyone.
From Monique Carlson, Logan City School District.
We can communicate $600.
Thank you. Mount Logan Middle School, Camille Gilbert and Carol Toonies.
Latino Literature for Literacy Academy, $500.
Thank you. From Wilson Elementary, Joy Hayes.
And $500.
You take the heat off. That's good. Congratulations. Thank you. Adams Elementary, April Olson and Kelly Bagley.
Learning wraps up for math mastery, $600.
Okay, also Woodruff Elementary, Ann Jacobson.
Educational math and reading games, $400.
Adams Elementary, Catherine McClellan.
Science manipulatives, $229.95.
Adams Elementary, Bridger Elementary, Diane Iverson, Rochelle Diaz, Judy Wright, Lindsay Larson.
Math and science literacy bags, $425.
Adams Elementary, Catherine McClellan. I think we read that one.
Did we? Yeah. Half pint readers for first graders?
Did we do that one?
$399.50.
We must have done that one. Okay. Ellis Elementary, Denise Pruse.
Reading library of instructional level books, $500.
Thank you. Wilson Elementary, Jonathan Sametko.
Model play unit, $600.
Mount Logan Middle School, Thane Hutchinson.
Science visual demos and manipulatives, $379.15.
Thank you. You down to one? Okay. Mount Logan Middle School, Eric Newell.
There must be more to this. You deserve a good paddle.
That's right.
$405.
Thank you. Well, thank you very much. We really appreciate you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. You. We'll see you next year.
Hey, if you'd like to shake, would like to shake your hands. I know this is going to be kind of hard to go around. I guess we'll just put down.
You don't want to miss anybody's hand. Congratulations.
Thanks.
Good luck to you.
Thanks for doing that.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Don't spend that all in one place.
Congratulations.
Yeah, why not?
Congratulations.
Whatever.
Congratulations. This is Denise's
night. Let it go.
That's great. Congratulations.
Congratulations. Yeah, well, I apologize. I'm not setting through your fingers.
Eric, where you go?
Thanks. We appreciate Nucor and for helping out. What a great blessing. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We appreciate it very, very much. Okay, we'd like now to hear from Lisa Budge from the PTA.
First of all, I wanted to thank Lynn and Marshall for coming to our Reflections Awards night last week, whenever that was.
Thursday.
It's over with, so I've forgotten already. Not quite over, but I thought that was a successful evening. It's kind of a fun program that PTA does. We had lower numbers this year, but still the children that participated were enthusiastic, and we had some representation from almost every school, so that was very good. Last night at the middle school, there was a literacy night sponsored by the PTA that was not well attended, but the people who were there, and I thought it was well worth going to. And we've got our new PTA president there with Shirley Guest Griffiths, and she'll do an excellent job getting things going at the middle school. And then next year at the high school, she's going to move up with her eighth grader. I'm really excited. Yeah. Yes. I keep asking her. Yeah, you really are. You're staying, aren't you? And she says yes so far, so we'll keep her. Coming up in February, we've got the Take Your Family to School Week, February 7th to 11th. And I'm not sure why we have the January month. We've got a new thing. The governor just signed a proclamation this month to make January Parent Engagement Month. But we have our Take Your Family to School Week in February. I think we'll maybe work that out as it comes along. But I thought this was a great proclamation that states that's positive and convincing studies have shown that the number one factor in individual student success in schools is parental involvement, and especially when we have a situation of budget cuts and downsizing of things, we really have a strong need for volunteers, and that's the focus of PTAs too, is the success of every child, and so hopefully we can get more parents involved in helping with getting over this low budget bump that hopefully will go away soon, right? We have sent on our reflections things. We'll find out at the beginning of February if any of our Logan things have gone on to the region. We had some really cool ones. I should have brought it. I still have the middle school 3D reflections. Oh, man, it's at home in a safe place because it is so cool. I'm afraid that my children will destroy it, my little ones. But we have some really creative kids, and I'm glad that we have some of outlets to do this. I like seeing the grants that we're getting here. We're really great. We have some PTA grants. I've talked with the middle school, at the high school, our people about applying for this, and some PTA grants. And I would like to work on that a little bit more to see if we can't get some more money into our arts programs from different sources. So if you have if you encourage from the other side, get a time to talk to me. I've talked with Lee Birmingham about it, and maybe at the middle school too, because we've got some kids there who want to do art, and I know some of the teachers are great, but any additional funding would be good, and we have some on the PTA side that we had to tap into. That's about it for a PTA report. Do you have any questions for me? Okay.
Thank you. Great. Thank you for all your work on reflections. Yeah.
Thanks.
Wonderful.
Thank
glad
you,
to,
Lisa.
Hope to get some of our winners to come in. And
what the little boy from Wilson.
Oh.
Devin Taylor.
Devin, we need Devin here
yeah.
to share
yeah.
his
story.
Story. That is
beautiful. That was so touching.
Very touching story. Yeah. And then to have his grandmother pass away.
Yeah.
For those of you who weren't there, Devin Taylor is 6 years old, first grader at Wilson Elementary, and he wrote... his literature entry was, "Together we can find a cure for Alzheimer's disease." His grandmother has had Alzheimer's, and he actually was diagnosed the year he was born. And so he wrote a story about, he wrote about Alzheimer's and what they do, and they participate in the Alzheimer's Memory Walk every year, and talked about how kids can help Alzheimer's, help prevent Alzheimer's disease. Well, you can give money to the doctors, you can walk in the walk, or you can grow up to be a doctor. And and he had pictures of his grandmother and him together doing things and the things that changed as she progressed in the disease. And he turned this in November, October, September, and then, but then she passed away Christmas Day. So he had written this story about her, and then she passed away just a few months later. I thought it was a very touching tribute. A sweet little boy who still loved his grandmother even though she was very ill.
Yeah. Thank you, Lisa.
So we'll bring him back.
Good. Thank you, Lisa. Okay. Shanna Longhurst, our foundation director, we'll turn some time to you.
I'm glad Lisa cleared the room this time.
Just an update on the foundation and the things that we've been involved with this year. We started off the year, again, with our annual golf tournament. This year we raised $10,600, and that about $4,600 of that was profit, so we were excited about that, a little more than we did last year. With those profits, we met all of our commitments to our memorial scholarship matches. So just to review, we match all of our memorial scholarships dollar for dollar. So any donation that comes in for those from any outside source, we will match those dollar for dollar up to $2,000 each year. So it's nice. A lot of them, we have employees throughout the district as well as family members who will donate to those. And so they are growing, which is nice to see, growing very slowly in this economy, but they are growing. And so we were able to meet all of those commitments. The additional proceeds, we gave some to the Tammy Pfeiffer Scholarship, and then the board voted to give a significant amount to the Garrett Scholarship, the Memorial Scholarship that we will start giving out this year. So we were excited to do that. And then not too long after the golf tournament, we had our annual auction at the Harris Hangar again this year. We profited over $26,000 this year, which was really, really fun to see. Any of you who did not make it that night, you missed a fun and entertaining evening.
Ball tickets.
Yes. Who knew that USU ball tickets could go for so much money? But it was really fun. All the school, every year we have the schools who present a project, and this year we did it through video, which was really fun. We had some schools present some really creative videos to ask for their funds, but all of their requests were granted this year. We gave books to schools, art supplies. Many of you might have seen the clickers that coordinate with the smart boards. Many schools were able to get a set of those. We enhanced the physics lab at Logan High. And so that was really fun to do. In addition to that, we were also able to raise quite a bit of money so that we will be able to give eyeglasses to students in need throughout the district for probably 2 to 3 more years. So we were really excited to boost up that fund. Also put a significant amount into our endowment, and then also give some money to some scholarships and keep our mini grant program, which is very popular and worthwhile in the school district. So that was our auction. That was a fun evening. Grants to date, and I apologize for not getting this to you electronically with everything else you get, but these are the grants that have been given through the foundation, in addition to Nucor Steel, the ones that we saw this evening, Campbell Scientific, and 100% for Kids. So to date, these are all the people who have received grants and the amounts that they have received. It's double-sided on the back. You'll also see a comparison with the last 4 years. So we're excited. We were really high, obviously, as everything was, and then we kind of dipped, and we're coming back. So we're really pleased about that. We're almost where we were last year, and we still have another round of mini-grants to give out. Those mini-grants will be collected in the next 2 weeks. So if there's any teachers here, that's just a heads up. In 2 weeks, we'll take those final round of applications and give out that money. And then in closing, just a couple of things. At our last meeting, we talked about looking into a marketing policy, which I hope that in the next few months you will be hearing things about. There, I'm sure you know that the district is inundated by, and primarily Stacy, is inundated by phone calls. Can we put these flyers in your schools? Can we send out these flyers with your children? And schools are being bombarded as well as the district office. There's many districts throughout the state who will allow this under a policy in a very controlled environment and while raising money at the same time. And just really quickly, for example, a business would approach the district and they would ask to distribute their flyers or information, and we would allow them to do so if they pay a fee upwards of $700 to $1,000, which then would go back into mini grants and scholarships and things like that. It's in the very preliminary stages. I'm collecting information from other districts at this time, and then we'll meet with teachers and administrators and parents to see if this is something that we would like to embark on. So that's a project that we'll be looking into. And then we were really excited to go out and collect some donations from some businesses and be able to give the awards for the district spelling bee this year. So we're excited to do that. If there's any questions of me, I would be glad to answer those.
Who funds the 100% for kids?
That is a collection of credit unions throughout the state.
I wonder if it was the credit union.
Yes. Any others?
Thank you, Shannon.
Thank you
Appreciate
very much
it.
For having me.
Thank you.
Thank you. When I have a report from the Classified Employees Association, the president, Cheryl Brown, is not able to be here tonight, but a member of the board, Stacy Hunter, will give that report.
We would just like to report that the association is in the process of working on our constitution and bylaws and our sick leave bank. And the association is going to try to visit each of the schools to meet with classified employees to answer any questions they may have and to inform employees on what the benefits are of becoming a member of the association before beginning negotiations. And the classified association would also like to thank all of you for our recent stipend. Thank you.
Thank you, Stacy. Appreciate it. Any questions? Okay. Thank you very much. We'll next hear from our Logan Education Association president. We're always happy to have you, Rayanne, so thank you.
And we'd like to thank Fred for his service as the president last year, and he's got a big smile over there this year, I can see already. And welcome as president this year, Lynn. It's going to be a fun year, and we look forward to working with all the board members, and again, we appreciate the work. As you know, we've started the legislative session, and I think we're all going to be up to our eyeballs in communication and trying to help them understand the importance of education. We have asked Marshall to help facilitate some of our teachers in attending the Educator Day on the Hill, which is sponsored by the UEA. And so we hope to encourage a few members of the association and actually anybody that wants to go up and be a part of that so that they can see firsthand what happens down there in Salt Lake City and so that hopefully through their experience become even a greater advocate and maybe learn the ropes of how we can make a difference in working with our legislators. Our other goal is communication with our teachers and our members in keeping them abreast of what is happening on a day-by-day basis down there and so that we can keep on top of things. And Marshall is so good to keep us in the communication loop. In fact, he's got a committee going, I'm sure you're aware, and has invited us to be a part of that so that we can work together. The other thing that I had to report on is the NEA sponsored their Western Regional Leadership Conference. It was in Salt Lake City about 2 weeks ago, and I had the opportunity to attend. And that was just a marvelous experience to network with other Western leaders and see what's going on in other states close to us and see what's happening. And we had the opportunity to hear from the NEA president, Dennis Van Rockel, I can never say his name, and then also Lily Eskelson, who you'll remember, she's the vice president of the NEA and gave some wonderful remarks. And it's just exciting to watch them as they battle for education at the national level. And, you know, their fight is everybody as real as what we're doing at the state level. And so it's just inspiring to hear and to listen to what's going on at the national level with education. So, again, we appreciate all that you do. And unless you have any questions, we'll be seeing you again next month. Yeah, down at the legislators. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you for all you do, Rayanne. Appreciate you very much. Okay, well, next hear from our Logan City School District Administrators Association and President Doug Beach.
Hey, good evening. Welcome, Lynn, as new president.
Thanks.
I think you might have been here when I got hired here. I was just thinking back. It's been 12 years. I don't know if you can even believe that. I think board member Dersh, you were here, and I remember
your little family coming in.
Yeah, well, you ought to see them now. Look a little different. Just a couple quick updates because that little family needs me tonight. Daryl Guyman and Eric Markworth have volunteered to serve on our legislative committee at the district level, just so you know who the representation is from the administrators there. I currently serve on the Utah Association of Secondary School Principals Legislative Council, which gives me an opportunity a couple times a year, particularly during legislative session, to meet with legislators. The last meeting we had, we met with state school board members and state superintendent and legislators, and they give us really good information. I'm learning a lot about the politics that they negotiate and who they'll listen to, so that's a good thing. My job's a communication effort back to the administrators in the cash-rich Logan and Box Elder counties, and so I represent Northern Utah on that committee. And that's been a good thing for someone from our district to be a part of, because it allows me to hear firsthand from our representative, Carl Boynton, who spends a lot of time working with the legislators on what the secondary school principals think are legislative priorities. We have elected a new president-elect. Kirk Allen will serve in that capacity. That happened at our last meeting, and that's a change just to accommodate Suzanne's... we had elected Suzanne Caressa, but we think it might be kind of a little bit of a difficult thing for her to negotiate during negotiations on both sides of that table. So it worked out better, and we had a re-election, and Kirk Allen's going to serve as the president-elect for this year, just so you're aware of that. There's a lot of staff development going on with the minimum day coming up next week. What I think I will do is email it to you, Stacey. You can forward it to them. Including the conferences that principals have been slated to attend, including Title I conference. I know it's coming up next week. I think Director Williams is going to that, and along with Dave Long and some Apple Technologies training. I know the 21st Century Schools Conference is coming up, and there are teachers from the middle school attending that, and there are others. So I'll just get that information along to Stacy so that you can read about it rather than spend time here talking about it. And then just lastly, we just want to express appreciation about the EduJobs stipend. Although it's not what we thought was going to happen or what we had intended to use the money for, everyone's appreciative of the fact that you've recognized the magnitude of our jobs and said thanks in that way to all the administrators. Somewhere down the road, hopefully things will improve and we can find a way to put time back into the schedule for teachers and professional development that we desperately need, and that's kind of our goal. I know it's on the minds of all of us as we meet, and feel like that's kind of the lifeblood of what we do. We need to be able to provide time for teachers to improve their practice. And that's how we felt about it going into it, and we realized that circumstances made that change, and so that's okay. I just want to express from our association our appreciation for what you do and for that. So that's all.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions for Doug?
Thanks, Doug.
Okay. Thank you, Doug. Okay, the next item on our agenda tonight is the consent calendar.
I have two things on the consent calendar. First of all, I would like, as on item number 4, the expulsion should be for a safe schools violation with a drug and alcohol. Safe schools violation due to a drug and alcohol safe drug and alcohol-free schools.
Violation.
Yeah, that policy. So anyway, it needs to be safe schools, not just the drug and alcohol-free. According to our policies, we technically don't expel kids for the drug and alcohol-free. It runs under safe schools. The other thing is with our personnel, not our personnel, on our minutes, on page 20, I called Stacy on this. We have... It just says and at the top of page 20. And so she's added to it so that it actually says what the and is. What did you add there? Do you know? Okay, so the and was, so it doesn't just say and, period. There's another thing I would like added in, and that is it says that we would, that we wanted it with comment, our approval of the EduJobs bill. I would like it a little bit more spelled. It just says with comment, and that's what we voted. That was the motion, was with comment, but I think we should ought to put what that comment is, and that was our concern about, well, it says with concerns expressed by board members, and our concern was that, and I would like it in there, our concern was that if the legislature chooses to withhold money again, we're going to have to be able to sit down as associations and deal with that in some way, and that we ask that all the associations be willing to do that. And I think that needs to be in there rather than just with comment, so that when we, if we deal with that, we can remind people with the minutes.
What would it be better to have it up in the body of it, it versus the action, because that would make it
unwieldy. Talk about what that concern
so we
was,
can though, we can set the concerns up there. Yeah. I'll work with Stacey.
If we could make those changes, I would move to approve the consent calendar.
Do we have any further discussion?
No, I would agree with that. I'll second that.
Okay, we have Ann Gary has made the motion to approve the consent calendar with those changes, and seconded by Fred Dersch. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, thank you. Okay, we have a couple of discussion items, the mid-year projects and the review of the school improvement plan, both those. So, Marshall, if you will go through those.
On page 38, you'll start with kind of the background information. On page 39 is where we start with the copies of the district projects that we initially gave you in August from the different departments and kind of where we are on each one. You can see that it has been a busy 5.5 months. We have worked on a lot of them. Still some are in process. Our focus has, especially in the curriculum area, as Robin has alluded to, with the advent of the Common Core and the state now putting that plan into place as to implementation, we have had a major amount of time focusing on that, getting us up to speed. I want to spend more time with you between now and June as to what that Common Core is and what are some of the processes we're doing in terms of our professional development. For next year, we have the implementation of the new math Common Core in grades 6 and 9, and we have the limited implementation in language arts. Districts are allowed to determine what that's going to be. We have determined that we will be working on writing as our implementation vehicle, and that is an initial vehicle for writing. K-12 will allow for all of the parts of the language arts curriculum, including the reading, to be able to come in together. The research shows greatly that if the focus on writing and the ability of the whole writing process actually will improve dramatically your reading scores. It becomes a secondary process, but it's because of the level of intensity in the writing. So we are currently working a Common Core. Is somewhat different than what our writing expectations have been in the past. We don't know what the final assessments will be. Currently, we still have the direct writing assessment in grades 5 and 8. That will still be our focus on official writing determination. We are all going to be using our MyAccess program that we have in grades 3 through 12, which is a computerized program that is utilized at all levels to help and assist in writing. We're going to be working with teachers. The primary start of their training will be this summer in an intensive three-day training. We are having 6 elementary teachers, 1 per grade level from each of the schools, and then we have 5 per grade level at the middle school and 5 per grade level at the high school, primarily language arts teachers. Those extra slots are going to be taken up by either special education teachers or content area teachers. So we will have a full cadre of teachers going through the state training that will be doing that again, and our focus is going to be writing as we transition. So our curriculum focus is really trying to work with our principals on a monthly basis. In terms of having them have information, we now need to get out 2 areas. Number, with the advent of the concerns of the legislature, I have sent out information, I've given you a copy, to our legislators here so that they have an understanding, a non-emotional understanding, hopefully, of what the Common Core means to us and why it is a good thing. in my career in the state of Utah. I was here when we first put in the Corps back in 1984, and it was a very rough document, and it was one that was put in place with no thought of any assessments at any time. This one is being done very, very well, giving us 2.5 years for implementation and a very strong assessment piece that will be part of the 33-state consortium. We also are missing the component of parents. And one of the things that I will be bringing to you in our work session in February is some ideas on how we're going to get information out to our parents and having them understand what this Common Core is, what the changes are, because education will look somewhat different for their children than what they experienced as a child. And we want to make sure that we have opportunities for them to understand what's going on and question, but in a way that will inform.
What happens if the legislature says, no way are you going to do the Common Core, even though the state board has adopted this?
At this point, it has been adopted. It is our vehicle to meet all state and federal expectations. And we are going to do everything in our power to make sure that that type of discussion that they initially have goes away very quickly, and they understand that what they've asked for excellence. They have
asked
for us the ability,
a world-class, yeah,
and this is what this does. And it was not developed by the federal government. It was developed by state governors as well as chief executive officers of state departments of education. And
it hasn't been mandated either.
And it started, and the other thing that needs to understand, that this was started probably around 2003, 2004, that was the impetus. It has nothing to do with the current administration. It was something that was a charge given to our states, because each state had separate goals and strategies and cores. And this is a way, there's been statements and research that said that if we don't get a focus as a nation, we will never be able to compete on an international level. The state stepped forward, they did it, they brought in the experts, and they developed this process for both mathematics and language arts, and it is the best thing that I've seen in my 32 years in education. Is it going to be difficult? Yes. But our commitment to our teachers and to our community is we will make this work so that our kids will get the best possible education, and we will give all the professional development necessary so that our teachers are up to speed in every area.
And this is the same legislature that had problems that our math core formerly wasn't up to national standards.
Correct.
So depending on what's happening, they take the other view of it.
This is something we cannot continue to be just isolated as a state, or else we will get further and further behind.
At the legislative education appropriation subcommittee meeting today, they talked about that quite a bit, and I thought the state office did a good job in articulating how that came about, and the fact that it was a state-driven initiative of 47 states, wasn't a federal-driven initiative, but there were specific reasons why Utah focused solely on math and language arts, and those main reasons being that with social studies and science, there tends to be more of an opportunity to bring in a little personal opinion to skew things away from what some feel are our core values in the state. So I thought they did a pretty good job of articulating those issues today amidst a lot of questions from those on that committee. I felt like, you know, it should have laid to rest any concerns they may have had, although I don't believe it will.
The other, if you look at the language arts core, the way it is developed is in such that the tenets of what needs to happen with language arts and with writing and communication skills is all based within language arts, but there's an expectation that in the science classroom they will learn about how you work with science terminology and what does writing look like in science, what does the application of the language arts skills look like in science, in social studies, in the technical fields. And those technical fields also include physical education and health. and possibly within those, you know, when you look at physiology and a lot of the things that could happen within the PE and health area, they're as complex or more complex than anything else. So that's the approach, is that all, and we've always said in this district that all teachers are teachers of writing. Now we're going to be looking at that. We are looking at a K-12. We want kindergarten teachers to know what a 12th grade student will be learning, because the skills they're learning in small sentences with their initial letter recognition becomes the foundation of a senior being able to finish up their work that they need in an AP course. And we've got to have that connection all the way through. The other plus for us on this in the discussion for the language arts is, because we're utilizing the ACT suite, Explore, Plan, and then the ACT, they have some very specific expectations in the language arts area about what is college ready and college and career readiness. So the combination, we've got a lot of things out there that will allow us to truly develop our curriculum in a way that will give our students all the skills that they need. So you can, again, that the area, and accolades to the three directors and what they have done. It has been just an amazing accomplishment. I am honored to work with them and what their departments are doing. They are focused on kids. They are focused on doing it what's best for our staff and our children, and I think you'll see that as you go through this list. It's not finished. We've got lots more things to be able to accomplish. If you have questions in specific areas or clarification you would like, we can do that at this time.
Okay. Does anyone have anything? Okay.
With a lot of stuff there.
Yes.
Then if you look at the next part in the school improvement plans, and I have had the opportunity over the last 2 weeks to visit with each of our principals, and what an absolute joy it is to be able to sit down and listen to them about what they're doing in their schools. They truly are focused in on student learning, individual student learning. As I talk with them, they had not gotten their DIBLs and their SRIs in yet, but they were anticipating that. Some had a few of their grade levels finished. Those are being done this finalized last week, as well as the first couple of days of this week. You will be receiving that material as we go over it in our February work session on February, I believe it's the 10th, isn't it? Monday the 10th.
What is DIBLs Next versus DIBLs?
DIBLs Next is a computerized version of what we've had, but it's been updated.
Okay.
The pluses are it is online and it is very easy for that portion. The negatives are it used to be run by the University of Oregon. It's now with a company. And when they purchased it or made that transition, they did not take all of the great reports that they had from the University of Oregon. So some of our reporting process about student abilities and where they are and their progress are not as strong as they used to be. We took a step back in our reporting process with them. But it is what is being used statewide. We are 100%, aren't we, at this point, online, which is something that a lot of the school districts have not been able to do. But because of the technology that you approved for our schools, we have enough computers, time, and for them to be able to do that. Each of the schools has put down where they are on their update. I had a form that most of them filled out that were kind of saying where they were with the different areas. All of them are focused right now on individual students. And if you looked at the back, Stacy, they did have the stuff from Bryce. Is that correct? If you look on page 73, starting on page 73, there is some material that we will put on the portal as well, but we wanted you to kind of look at it. Bryce Greenhall, who is the new Doug Snow for the two districts, doing data assistance, he has been able to look at the projected expected scores that are needed within each of the subgroups for the end-of-level test that we'll be taking in April. Now, what this does is as they are working with individual students and they know of which subgroup area that they're in, they're able to identify what some of the needs are so that they can keep track of how those specific students are doing and whether or not we are getting close to our goal or not. So that it's a way of kind of seeing where we're going to be and doing the projections. But it also, the best part, is it's getting down to literally individual students, looking at their individual needs. And I think you can see as you read through the school improvement plans mid-year review, they are doing that on their elementary specifically. They are really spending a lot of time making a determination on how is Johnny doing, how is Susie doing, where are they missing, what type of skill sets do we need to look at, what groups are having some difficulties, how do we bring them together and give the assistance that is needed. Just an example is when we were at Wilson, just she shared with you some of the intensity between the before school programs, the after school programs, what they're doing with extended kindergarten. We were there again this Monday, and just the identification of some of our youngest students that need some additional help. Their number recognition, their letter recognition isn't there for kindergarten yet. But they know those students, they have specific skill sets and lessons for them, and they're seeing great gains. As Robin was talking about the initial dibbles that we're seeing, the number of at-risk students who were there in their first assessment in September are almost gone in some grade levels. It's just amazing the transition. We're getting more and more kids at grade level faster than we've ever done before, and that's because of the dedication of our teachers. They know how to teach reading in the elementary level. They are really working hard at individual kids' needs. As we get into secondary, it's a little more challenging because they have a language arts teacher but not necessarily a reading teacher. But again, at both of those levels, they're really working hard. Multiple programs, as we saw at Mount Logan, they have the Literacy Academy, they have some other areas, the Discovery programs, that they're really trying to work with students on specific skills so that they are able to get up to speed. High school is working hard at getting students identified and getting some extra help. And I think that the presentation that will happen in March to you and the recommendations on Tier 2 and Tier 3 programs will be something of a transformation for them. And that it has been very impressive. So this material that you see starting on page 73 is just some of the things from the first couple pages from Utah where the line is for the targets that we have to hit. We are increasing our targets for language arts this year. It does go up about 8 percentile points from last year. That's going to be a challenge. We're 1 year between 2 years away from 100%, which we know. Annual measured outcomes.
Okay, that wasn't written anywhere.
Yeah, the annual measured outcomes. The challenge we're going to have by 2014, we're supposed to be at 100% in all subgroups and all categories. We know that for AYP, under the definitions we have, it will not be possible. When we look at our ESL students, every ESL student who's successful leaves that program. We can count them only for 2 years, and then after that, they're into the regular population. So what's left in that population will always be a challenging group. Same with our special needs kids. There's no way for those to be able to be on grade level with the identification of the same skills that a child who's not on IEP will be. So with this, we also showed you...
You mean we won't have perfect kids?
We will not have perfect kids. But we will have a program in place that is identifying and doing all that we can to meet the needs of every child. We also put in here some information on the responsive school teams. Wanted you to kind of know what each of the schools are doing within each of their teams throughout the year. They're working well. It's going to become the catalyst for our implementation of the Common Core. And we'll be working with schools on that transition and as they are working so that each of the committees will have an understanding, each of the teams will have an understanding of their role in that communication process and in that development process. And we gave you some examples of some of their agendas that they've had. So that is the mid the mid-year report for the school improvement plans. Any questions?
Okay. Thank you very much.
Lots of good information.
Yeah. Thank you.
Emphasis on lots.
I know. I didn't want you to be bored from Friday until Tuesday. I paid for that to happen.
Thank you for your concern.
Okay, any
it
reports?
It is electronic, though.
Fred.
Oh, just a minute. I do have something. I better. I attended the emergency preparedness meeting, and that was last Thursday. We toured the Logan City Police Department, went through their dispatch center. It was very interesting. Showed how Logan City works in terms of responding to emergencies and tied in with what we're trying to do with our emergency preparedness committee. So that's what I did.
Okay. And?
We met the ESL group and I became the pain asking questions on, okay, in this paragraph we refer to it as ESL, ELL, and ELP. Which one are we going to call it? Is an ESL teacher someone who has an ESL endorsement, or is that the teacher who teaches the ELP student? So I was a little bit obnoxious, but it, you know, I serve a function in life. So, but it was a good discussion. We're doing really good things. The plan has, I decided to not be picky about the plan until the state had looked over it, because then I'll, you know, try to do some consistency. But I think we're doing really good things. I hope we can afford what's going to be recommended, though, because I know one of the things we were looking at is can this be done by a regular classroom teacher? And I think some of the definitions of it, direct instruction. Is that direct instruction? If you have an ESL-endorsed teacher, is that direct instruction, or is that... Yeah, some of those things we need to look at, because one of the things I know we were looking at is, can we reduce the cost of this program? I'm not sure we can. So anyway, that's one thing. Yesterday I went to the Bridgeland Applied Technology board meeting. They're also concerned about budget cuts. Higher ed, which Bridgeland is part of, has been told come up with a 7% cut. And they're then behind the doors they're told we'll come up with a 7%, but then we'll fill it in some way. But they are very concerned, and I know there are concerns about funding for high school students with CTE and other issues that are out there. I did mention to Ari that they all commented that they were really glad that BATC is kind of under the wire. They may not get credit for good things they do, but they also don't get their salaries published in the newspaper. And so I you know, said, hey, you really should have. So anyway, well, that was an interesting thing yesterday with everyone's salary in the newspaper. But both are good groups, and that ESL committee is a really good group of people who really care about our kids.
What you're saying, what's good for the goose is good for the gander, right?
Yeah. Or everybody, you know, let's have it out there for everybody.
Yeah, true.
Okay, Jim.
I want you to know that the university has begun, that in spite of the fact that there's no money to support teachers or classes, that we have more students than ever, and somehow they just keep smiling. So we're all happy at the university. All of us are pleased with our pay. And we're looking forward to a 7% reduction.
And I think you're not telling the truth.
Not entirely. It's the best I can do tonight.
Good.
Other than that, I did nothing for the board.
Okay. Thank you. The only thing I had is just, you already heard that we attended Reflections, and that was a good night. Really, I'll tell you, I hope we do have that young Taylor student come in and do it, because that was probably one of the most touching things that I've witnessed from a young child in many years. It was just amazing. Okay, Zane, anything you have?
Yeah, if you look at the board backup material, you'll see the financial report for the month of December. The only anomaly in there that I wanted to bring to your attention was if you look at the salary, well, the expenditures under the instruction line item, under the maintenance and operations fund, the percentage is higher than it was last year, and that has to do with the stipend that was paid in December.
It was not put in the initial budget.
It wasn't. We didn't do it last year, mm-hmm. and that's the main thing. Okay. And it wasn't a budgeted expenditure at the time. I also wanted to kick you out if you could jump into the portal and show you a couple of things. If you go into the finance section of the portal, there's a PDF file out there that I've entitled Econ 101-4.
And where on all of that is?
So go into the finance section. And then once you click in there,
very last thing.
That's the last thing on the bottom right.
Okay.
So if you click that, I'm going to rename these. In fact, I've already done it. I've called it Econ 101 Fiscal 11. I'll start doing that. But this is just updated information from what I've done previously. To give you some talking points, if you get invited to some discussion and they ask you some things. I know Christy was invited to talk at some meeting last week or 2 weeks ago, and I updated this information. She said it worked really well for her, so that's there for your information. Also, if you could just jump into the homepage of the Logan City School District website.
You're still at the point. We're joking around, and we're not even into the portal yet.
No. Oh, okay.
Okay. District website. We're there.
Okay.
Everybody else, I'll share with friends.
Now, if you go under departments and the business office, and there's a tab there for district financial data. If you click on that, Luke Barkle is helping us with the website, and I feel good that we have things organized out here as far as financial information for the public or you or anyone else that might be interested in it. So there's a general financial information section. The first link on there is the Utah Transparency website. If anyone's interested, they can go out there and all the detail that you get goes to them, and you can find out all these wonderful things. I wanted to, if you click on the average daily membership and fall enrollment history, you click on that sheet, and it kind of gives you, well, it does give you running history of our average daily membership from 1993-94 through present, and by school. And then our summary fall enrollment information by school. Actually, that one's quite great. So that's just for your information. And then if you go back and drop down, you'll notice that we've posted our tentative budget, our board financial reports that I'm giving you, we'll go out here, enrollment reports, our year-end financial information, our financial program report, our audit report, our fall enrollment reports, our year-end enrollment reports. So we'll just kind of keep this going now, and it's got everything you wanted to know and that you didn't care about. But
well, and if the press wants it, it's right there for them too. Which is
so. If you have any questions about any of that information, don't hesitate to give me a call.
So the enrollment by capacity by school program, that lets them know whether we have for school choice room. Is that it, or
which one?
He has an enrollment capacity by school.
You know, frankly, I don't remember where that came from.
This,
I'm thinking that came from you.
when I pull it up, oh, there it is. This was last year's. We do not have the updated for 2010.
Okay. Then we probably need to do it very soon, since aren't we into open enrollment?
Actually, open enrollment for next year is we are fully open, because it's not, we don't have the projections for next year until we know. But we will have the adjusted, and there are some new rules that have been put into place for calculation of this, so we will get that done.
And then I wanted to show you, if you go in, I have it linked as a favorite, but if you go up on the bar there and type in www.le.utah.gov.
www.le.
Up here on top. Yeah. And that puts you to the Utah State Legislature homepage.
Oh, I had that one already.
Okay.
LEG.
In the LEG. It's just le.utah.gov. And then if you really need something to get your adrenaline up, go over there on the left where it says committees. And then you can go to appropriations or all, but click on all committees.
You can even listen to them, can't you?
Yeah. That's the part where your blood starts boiling.
Actually, let's go to...
if you don't have high blood pressure beforehand, you will have it after.
Le.utah, spelled out, .gov.
Is this when you...
Go to the Appropriations Committee thing. It's easier to find. And down there at the towards the bottom, third one up from the bottom, says Public Education Appropriations Subcommittee. And once you click on that page, you've got the agendas and the backup material and the audio for all of the Education Appropriation Subcommittee meetings. And like Superintendent suggested, if you want a wake-up call, listen to what's going on in that meeting. I was down there today for the superintendent. I decided it might not be a bad idea if I go to most of these. I had a chance after this meeting today to get what the legislative fiscal analyst and the co-chair of the committee, Merlin Newbold, and address a couple of concerns that I had.
You didn't use your farmer language, did you?
I think I've made great strides with my diplomacy.
Oh, good. Civility.
That's my way of saying you was a good boy. Huh?
That's right.
And I used to call it his farmer language, you know?
You're going red.
Son. You are.
Right, you guys.
This is being taped, you guys.
That's why I call it farmer language.
I'm becoming quite the diplomat, if I do say so. But anyway, it was a good meeting, insightful. But you would find this audio very informative. And there is some pretty interesting backup data. If you were to say click here for the list, so go on Wednesday, January 19th, and it says click here for list. It'll pull up some PDF documents. And click on this options to eliminate structural deficit.
Which is what you have a copy of in front of you.
Public education.
Which is pretty scary.
And one of
when you increase efficiency.
Right. So one of the things I talked to them about today was, all right, they're having a lot of discussion about the $217 million line item, which used to be Social Security and retirement, but was replaced for the current fiscal year by this flexible WPU distribution. And you have one of the co-chairs calling for, I want detail right down to the pencil of how that $217 million is being spent. I lean up to the guy from the state office and say, why don't you answer that question? That's not a 10-minute answer. That's a 5-second answer. And it's like they're afraid to talk to him about it. And so that was one of the things after the meeting that I went and talked to one of the co-chairs and the legislative fiscal analysts about. I said, you know, that 217 replaces what used to be $350 million of Social Security and retirement. We're all using it for Social Security and retirement. And I said, I can promise you, all 41 of us are using it for exactly the same thing. Just because you named it Flexible WPU and took the strings off of it doesn't mean that we didn't have those obligations that we have to keep meeting with regards to Social Security and retirement. So they're talking about taking that away. That's $2,250,000 to Logan City School District.
Which means
that's
then
like
that we
35
have
teachers.
35 teachers, which is over 10% of our teaching force.
You know, they're talking about rolling away. Right now there's a separate line item in the minimum school program for K through 8 class size reduction funding. Specifically, that money is being used for teachers in elementary grades, primarily the first three grades. Well, not every district can tell them exactly what teacher that's paying for.
We can.
Several can. It's beside the point, in my mind, because it has to be used for reduction of class size. Statewide, that's $92 million and change. That's over 1,400 teachers. Senator Stevenson, in the meeting last week, you could listen to it. He thinks that this is one area that, you know, school boards in particular have been derelict in their duty, that there's no accountability for this money, that class sizes aren't being reduced, and I don't know how it gets away with that kind of talk.
If you'll look on the letter that
teachers
that I've given to Senator Hilliard on what that impact is for us, we have $995,000, approximately almost $1 million. What the increase
teachers.
Is over almost 16 teachers at the average of 62,000. If you add, all, you know, that's just salary plus benefits. The reality of that, we in grades 1, 2, and 3, we have 80 teachers currently in those three grades. Losing 16 is losing 20% of our current K-2 teachers.
And then they can still say, but we funded the WPU.
Well, what they're talking about doing with that line item, and it's detailed in this thing that Marshall gave you and that's on here, is rolling it into the WPU. So effectively, legislative fiscal analyst has estimated that it would raise the value of the WPU $125 to just over $2,700. Well, the problem with that is that there are a lot of programs being funded and that are WPU driven, for instance, necessary existent small schools. We don't have any. A lot of the rural school districts do. You've got the professional staff cost development money. You've got CTE money, you've got special ed money that now would get a piece of that $92 million, and it's about 27%. So the 92, or effectively Logan gets about 1% of any of that, just so you know when they're talking about that kind of stuff. For Logan District's enrollment's about 1% of the state. So I went through and ran some numbers last night and figured if they run that through like they're talking, then that statewide, that $92 million gets diluted down to like 67 is all that would be available back in the classroom where it's being spent now. The rest would get divvied out to CTE, to special ed, to small schools, professional staff cost formula money. I asked them today, I said, is that an unintended consequence, or are you aware that if you do that, that's going to happen? And they didn't understand it. Ben Leishman, the fiscal analyst, did. He reminded the chair of the committee that was there that I was talking to, we've talked about this, and she says, oh, yeah, you're right. Okay. Thanks for reminding me. I thought, well, we'll be there to remind you, but don't think that's the intention. they tried to twist it. She said, "Are you opposed to having us put money on the WPU?" I said, "That's not the issue. But when you take these line items, you can't just in a cavalier manner throw them into the mix and expect the outcome to be the same, because it changes everything. The formulas are complex, and you can't just fly by the seat of your pants and do those kinds of things. So anyway, we have to stay on top of it." And so
thank you, Zane.
It's a lot of fun.
Thanks for staying on top of things.
Well, I just don't feel like I have any influence, really. I believe decisions have already been made, and that's the frustrating piece about it.
Are you sending that? I know one of the reasons it's going to send to Dr. Hilliard is because
This is the copy. We have one to all of our local. Everything that I do is for every local representative. Obviously, his position on that subcommittee is critical and crucial. We will be forming starting next week. We will have groups from PTA, from each of the associations and the board, and we will be sitting down and doing similar things and making sure that information gets out. Tomorrow I'll write one on with information that Robin was able to give me on the K-3 and make sure that gets out to our legislators, just as this last week I did the Common Core discussion. And so we'll consistently do that.
When are you planning to have that committee meet? Which day?
February 3rd is...
Is that Thursday?
Just look and see.
Because I would be on that committee, but I can't do Thursday.
It's the first, not the third. Yeah, it's February 1 at, which is a Tuesday. It's a Tuesday at 3.
Okay. Normally, I would be willing to serve on that committee. That day, I cannot be there.
Okay, so just, it's kind of a, we want anyone who can be here. Christy has said that she's interested in doing that. I'm not sure when she gets back.
And I think we're the two that...
She gets back Sunday.
And we're the two that usually go down to the legislature on Fridays as well.
Our goal is to get information out through the PTA and through community council. We will hold a meeting on the third is the community council meeting, isn't it? Thursday the 3rd, 6 o'clock. We will be working with our community council on legislative issues as well as making sure we get some ability to get communication to them on a consistent basis so that they can also get it out to constituents within the schools.
So are they projecting a 7% reduction in the amount of money we're getting yet?
Yeah, what
income, is that what they're...
For the next 3 weeks, they have to develop a base budget. They've determined that they want a base budget that is structurally within that. Remember, there was an imbalance of $300,000, something like $300 million. That imbalance is being taken care of with one-time funds, et cetera. So they always, since back when Governor Walker threatened to veto the budget over the K-3 monies at that point, and they potentially were leaving the legislature without a budget, they now go do this process. And so there is always a base budget developed in the first 3 weeks of the legislative session. When there was money, they would always say it was what was last year. And there was no problem. They just voted in. It was guaranteed what you had last year. Well, in the last 3 years, now that we're starting to do reductions, they have us go through exercises of all of these reductions with a promise, sometimes quietly stated, that things will be better in the real budget. But the emotion and all the work that has to go into reducing these budgets at this point are catastrophic and they're very, very destructive. So this is an exercise they've chosen to go through. It's by law that this is the way it is now, and the only way for them to change this process is to change the law. And there is some discussion, there's been some encouragement on the governor's part to do that, because under times of plenty, it's a very good process. It's easy. In times of disparity that we're having and the cuts that we're looking at, it's very difficult to go through all of that. And then all of a sudden, 4 weeks, all of a sudden we're talking now about new money.
Okay, now we have it. We just scared you, and now we're not going to do that to you.
So, but we do have to. We have to ensure, as they're looking at options, they will do a draconian cut of 7% across the board. The problem with the details on that is making sure that as they get to the other budget, that the changes are made such that we don't get worse cuts or continued cuts in areas that we thought were being taken care of. So this material will go out. I will have another one tomorrow. I'll get out to you. I will get it out to the association presidencies, what I've currently done. I do believe we need to address the K-3 just because of the nature of the discussion. And one thing I have found that if we are able to get information into the hands of our legislators that is on a non-emotional level, at least they have something from which to banter back from the emotion that's been given to them on the same subject.
Is it bad to have some emotion, though? Of course, if they come from you non-emotional, then Robin can do an emotional, right?
The emotional is something, you know, the reality is that we have done everything we can to protect our children and our staffs. And we're getting to the point where it has hurt us because there's not been an outcry by the public. We now have to inform the public to say that things are not good, and this is not us just saying things because we want to incite emotion. The fact is that we are into such major cuts that will majorly impact the ability for us to give their children a quality education. We have to give the data. I want to give it from the Logan perspective, and we'll hopefully have lots of people out there who will be able to share with our legislature their personal feelings as to why things should not occur.
Exciting.
It is exciting. We do, if anyone was wanting to go down, we will probably between 9:30 and 9:45 every Friday to go down.
Okay, and this week, what time are we leaving? It's at 10 o'clock this week.
Or day on the hill.
Oh, yes, because it's 10 o'clock. We'll need to leave at 8:30 or probably 8:15.
Where would you meet?
Just here.
Just meet out in the parking lot.
Yeah.
And you're going to be driving?
Mm-hmm. So 8:15 this week.
And I will be going for sure.
Okay. Very good.
And I wonder if it might be helpful, Marshall, to also send some of this information to our people at the press, because if they also see what we're sending our legislators, then they can,
Stacy can
be aware of you know what that discussion is, because it's all public knowledge what's hitting. But I think it would be helpful for you to actually be able to see
that way. You can see the Logan perspective on it.
So I would like to encourage you to do that.
Okay,
as well.
Good. We'll do it. And that's my report.
Such a good report.
Did you finish?
I did, thank you.
And you
finished? I did.
Okay. Well, I now need a motion to go into a closed session to discuss the character, professional competence, or physical or mental health of an individual.
I would so move.
Do we have a second? Jim seconds it. I need a voice by each one. Jim?
Yes.
Ann?
Yes.
Fred?
Yes.
Lynn? Yes. Okay, we'll now go into closed session. There will be...
will there be action?
There will be no action taken tonight, so...
We'll have a fight.